Track 2. Hello and welcome to The Nude, recorded on Wednesday, the 1st of November. I'm Louise.
I'm George.
And I'm Margaret.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Mrs. Coley. So once again, thank you for your donations, which really count towards the running of the Talking newspaper and magazine. And now Joyce will start us off with the news.
Dudley Zoo's Freak Week got off to a fantastic start with the birth of 5 Jamaican boas. The babies were born to parents Bob and Marley in the reptile house. Senior keeper Sam Grove said, "In the wild, the parents don't live with the babies and would leave them immediately to fend for themselves. We've removed the youngsters from the enclosure as they wouldn't have survived." The babies, which measure about 30 centimetres in length, are currently off show and are being cared for by reptile keepers. Listed as vulnerable on the IUCN Red List, the proud parents form part of an EEP breeding programme. Bob, aged 20, arrived at the zoo in 2014 from West Midlands Safari Park, before being joined by 10-year-old Marley from Knowsley Safari Park a few months later. The Jamaican boa is, as its name suggests, restricted to the island of Jamaica. Although Jamaican boas produce eggs, they never lay them. After mating, the female retains the fertilised eggs in her body for 6 to 7 months, the time that it takes for the young to develop. Once they have absorbed the yolk sacs of their eggs, the young snakes hatch inside the female and are then born fully formed, with the female potentially giving birth to up to 40. There were eerie arts and crafts sessions during the freak week in the new farm barn, as well as the chance to come face to face with creepy critters at the Discovery Centre. The best design won an adoption package for Nana, an Egyptian fruit bat, whose favourite fruits sound like it could be bananas. All pumpkin donations formed a spooky display in the castle courtyard before they were dished out to the animals as a Halloween treat.
It's the 6th most lorry bashed in Britain, the most frequent hit in the West Midlands, according to a new report. The St John Street Bridge in Lichfield has been hit by lorries 86 times since 2009, more than any other bridge in the region. Network Rail has called for lorry drivers to memorise the height of their vehicles to avoid accidents with vehicles driving into railway bridges and causing hours of delays to train passengers. The national railway tracks in total suffer almost 2,000 bridge strikes every year, costing the taxpayer some £23 million in damages and delays. Sir Peter Hendy, chairman of Network Rail and a driver of a double-decker bus himself, said it is only a matter of time before road or rail users are killed as a result of drivers not knowing their vehicle's height. He said size does matter when you're a professional driver in a heavy vehicle. Not knowing the size of your vehicle or load could lead to a serious accident and the loss of your licence. Every incident creates potential delay for tens of thousands of passengers and potential costs for taxpayers, and this is happening multiple times a day. It's only a matter of time before road or rail users are killed as a result of this carelessness. We need professional HGV drivers and their operator employers to get behind and support this campaign to eradicate bridge bashing, which reaches epidemic levels at this time of the year. Last year, a bridge strike in Rugeley cost Network Rail over £800,000. With landmark legal cases, now meaning that they can claim back 100% of the huge costs incurred by bridge strikes. Lichfield MP Michael Fabricant has said that he believes more signage could help ease the problem and asked for work to be done to look into the possibility of this. He said, "I am told that once again this is often due to truck drivers taking a shortcut and treating roads in Lichfield District as a rat run. While I'm not calling for a weight limit yet on roads like St John's Street in Lichfield, I will be asking County Highways to conduct a detailed study into whether there needs to be additional warning signs from the south of the railway bridge. It seems that already very clear signs on the bridge itself are not attracting the attention of truck drivers."
Patients at New Cross Hospital have been left waiting more than 4 hours at I&E, as hospital bosses have failed to meet national targets for the last 12 months. Figures released by the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust reveal that patients have been left waiting in the emergency department of the hospital for hours, breaching national guidelines. According to the government, patients should not be left waiting more than 4 hours in I&E departments. Hospitals should meet the 4-hour waiting time target at least 95% of the time. The NHS Constitution states that be seen, treated, and then admitted or discharged in under 4 hours. However, at New Cross, this target has not been met in at least the last 12 months. The earliest report into the waiting times released by the Trust show that July 2016 had failed to meet the target. Not only this, but it has failed to meet further guidelines that state people referred by their GP to the hospital for treatment shouldn't wait more than 18 weeks to be seen. Figures show that August 2016 was the worst month for waiting times in A&E, with the Trust only reaching the 83% mark out of the 92% target. Of this year, April was the worst time to be in A&E, with only 87% of people seeing a doctor within 4 hours. July this year was the best for the Trust, with 90% of people seeing a doctor in 4 hours of waiting at A&E, but that slipped by August back down to 85%. People were also left waiting more than 18 weeks for treatment after being referred to the hospital from their GP. The Trust has failed to meet the targets for this too, with national guidelines stating 92% of people shouldn't be left longer than 18 weeks without being seen after a referral is made. This target was almost met in May this year, where 91.5% of people were seen within 18 weeks, but this has slipped to 90% in September this year. Gwen Nuttall, Chief Operating Officer at the Royal Wolverhampton NHS Trust, said, "We always strive to provide high quality, safe care for every one of our patients. There are a number of national targets that the Trust works hard to achieve. However, over the last 12 months, there are times where this hasn't always been possible. Meeting national targets will always be a challenge, but we are doing all that we can to ensure our patients are not waiting longer than necessary to receive the care they need. We are currently one of the best performers in the Midlands for achieving the A&E target, and are routinely in the top 25% of all hospital trusts across the country."
Stourbridge's War Memorial has been classified as a particularly important monument of more than special interest by Historic England. The cenotaph in Mary Stevens Park was already Grade 2 listed and of special interest, but it has now been upgraded to Grade 2 star status. Particularly important buildings of more than special interest. After a review by the public body tasked with preserving the nation's history, it has been listed for redesignation as part of Historic England's First World War Commemoration Project, which seeks to record and commemorate the Great War conflict on the home front and to protect war memorials. Only 6% of listed buildings across the country have such a status. Other examples of Grade 2 star listed buildings or structures in the UK include London's Battersea Power Station, the Coliseum Theatre in the capital, and Middlesbrough Transporter Bridge. Councillor Ian Kettle, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Planning and Economic Development, said, "We are delighted with this news, which comes at a particularly apt time with Remembrance Sunday just around the corner. It is a beautiful and historic monument to the hundreds of very brave soldiers from Stourbridge who gave their lives for their country during times of conflict. Having it listed protects it for future generations to see the sacrifices that were made by their forefathers." The memorial commemorates those from the Stourbridge area that were killed in the First and Second World Wars and a single casualty of the Gulf War. It was designed to memorialise specifically the 377 dead of the borough during the 1914-18 conflict. The town memorial was unveiled on February the 25th, 1923, by the Earl of Coventry at its original location in the junction of Church Street and Hagley Road, outside the Free Library, and at the southern end of the High Street. After the Second World War, a further 135 names were added to commemorate those who had died in that conflict, and the memorial was moved to Mary Stevens Park, Norton, in 1968 when the Ring Road was built. A plaque was added to the memorial in 2011, commemorating a Stourbridge soldier who had died in the First Gulf War, and in 2014, the name of one further First World War soldier was added.
A drugs gang have been sentenced to a total of 30 years in prison after being found guilty of conspiring to supply cocaine into South Staffordshire. The cocaine discovered during an operation led by Staffordshire's Police Major and Organised Crime Department was found to have a purity of 81% and an approximate street value of £202,000. Christopher Burns, 40, of Hill Street, Burntwood, was at the head of the operation, and his responsibilities included acquiring and distributing the drugs. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison after a 6 weeks trial at Birmingham Crown Court, which ended yesterday. Burns was sentenced alongside Lee Crowley, aged 42, of Pound Road, Albury, Alexander Floyd, 25, of Overton Road, Hammerwich, and Alfred Floyd, 26, of Scholarsgate, Burntwood, who were each given six-year sentences. Joseph Gregory, aged 41, from Rugeley Road, Chase Terrace, Burntwood, was found guilty of possession and was fined £1,750 to be paid over 12 months. The court heard that on November the 24th, 2014, Christopher Burns told Alexander Floyd to attend McDonald's in Hagley Road West in Birmingham to collect a package from Lee Crowley. Floyd was stopped and arrested soon afterwards, and 1 kilogram of cocaine was discovered in the footwell of the Vauxhall Corsa he was driving. The cocaine was wrapped in a carrier bag with two of Floyd's fingerprints on the bag. Subsequent searches and investigations revealed evidence of further cocaine dealing between Alfred Floyd and Alexandra Floyd. Separate quantities of cocaine were also recovered from the home address of Joseph Gregory. Detective Inspector Pete Cook of Staffordshire's Police Major and Organised Crime Department said, "These men were clearly significant in the supply of Class A drugs in Staffordshire. The arrests and subsequent convictions of all five are the result of a well-planned operation, and this investigation shows that we are determined to rid our communities of drugs and those intent on dealing them."
the proposed restoration of Dudley Hippodrome could be in danger of collapsing, as a leader of the Borough Council said he believed not much progress had been made by campaigners trying to save it. Patrick Harley admitted the authority has started to think about other uses for the derelict landmark in the event of the rescue not coming to fruition. The council leader said Black Country Hippodrome had been given a generous amount of time to get their act together to make a viable business case for retaining the Hippodrome. A report is due to go to Cabinet in the coming weeks over the next step in the saga of the former theatre. Campaigners have requested a 20-year extension to its current 5-year lease, which they say is too short to attract the necessary investment. Councillor Harley insisted they would continue to have the council's support if they could meet their milestones, but suggested time could be running out. He talked about a plan for the building if the rescue failed, including the possibility of it being turned into an information centre or used by Dudley College or the zoo. It is estimated Black Country Hippodrome needs £5 million to make their dream of reopening the landmark as a theatre and community building a reality. Councillor Harley said, "My understanding is they have not made much progress. Therefore, a report will go to Cabinet and we will make a decision. We have supported the retention of the Hippodrome in the past, but it comes to a point where you have got a few well-intentioned people. However well-meaning they are, if they can't find the resources and the support to get the project off the ground, then there has to be a serious discussion about what to do next." He added, "It is still an asset, even if it is surplus to requirements. It is still an asset belonging to the local authority, and it is our duty to council taxpayers to look after assets." Control of Dudley Council switched from Labour to the Conservatives in May, but Councillor Harley denied he and senior colleagues were lukewarm about the restoration of the iconic building. He added, "If we were lukewarm in our support, then we wouldn't have had the time given, the 5-year agreement they agreed to." Black Country Hippodrome insist they have met their milestones for the first year of the project.
Nearly 4,000 parking fines were handed out in just 3 months in the Dudley Borough this summer. More than £82,000 was made from penalty notices between July and September as drivers were caught flouting the rules. Castle Street in Dudley was revealed as the most likely place for motorists to be slapped with a ticket, with more handed out there than anywhere else during the period. From the start of July until the end of September, a total of 3,796 fines were issued, bringing in a total of £82,225. The figures were released by Dudley Council under the Freedom of Information Act, and local authority bosses warned that those who continued to break the rules would be made to pay for it, with traffic wardens out in force in Castle Street. The pedestrianised section, which joins Market Place, has double yellow lines running, but there are some bays allowing shoppers to park for an hour, likely to be where many have fallen foul of officers. The street remains the borough's parking fine hotspot after it was revealed earlier this year that almost 1,500 charges were issued there in 2016 to 2017, 5 a day on our average. Senior councillor Paul Brothwood insisted that drivers had no excuse for trying to dodge parking restrictions. The Dudley UKIP group leader said, "With the introduction of free parking across the borough, I am hoping there is less chance of people getting tickets. We want people in our own town centres. There is plenty of free parking available. As long as people are parking legally, they shouldn't be concerned." He added, "Compared to other councils, our revenue from parking fines is relatively small. Illegal parking creates an inconvenience for businesses. There are no excuses. There are plenty of parking spaces." During the last financial year, the amount brought in from parking fines overall rose by £65,000 from 2015 to 16, when the council made Wolverhampton Street, Dudley, were next on the list in terms of roads where drivers were most likely to pick up a parking fine. Drivers who flout restrictions are hit with fines of up to £70. However, the amount is cut by half if it is paid within 14 days. The council was unavailable for comment.
A teenager has died and a second left seriously injured after a car they were passengers in failed to stop for police and crashed into with a lorry. West Midlands Police had followed the car, which failed to stop for officers, but had called off the pursuit before the fatal crash. A 17-year-old passenger was pronounced dead at the scene, while a second 17-year-old passenger was taken to hospital with serious injuries. He remains in a serious condition. A third 17-year-old teen was found close to the scene and has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving and theft of a motor vehicle. He remains in police custody. A spokesman for West Midlands Police said the road was closed for a number of hours while emergency services and collision reconstruction experts established the circumstances of the collision. Anyone who witnessed the incident was asked to call the Collision Investigation Unit on 101. Due to the nature of the crash, the matter has been referred to the Independent Police Complaints Commission, IPCC. The spokesman added, they have stated that they will investigate this matter as an independent investigation, which is routine in cases of this nature. The crash happened on Church Road, Yardley, Birmingham, around 4:15 p.m. on October the 26th.
A community centre that served families across Dudley has closed suddenly. Wren's Nest Community Centre in Summer Road abruptly shut its doors 2 weeks ago, with declining usage and sponsorship cited as the main reasons. Councillors say it comes months after more than £10,000 was ploughed into a new central heating system at the venue, but following the investment, which came from the Councillors Community Forum Fund used to support communities, the centre has now shut its doors. The centre, which is believed to have been run by a local church, was used by community and sports groups, as well as elderly people. Councillor Ken Finch, who represents the Castle and Priory Ward, said, they were having problems with the central heating and us as ward councillors got them a new boiler system. We were told that it would be used 7 days a week. Then we were informed by the committee that it had suddenly closed it. It is sad for the estate. We were told it was due to lack of people using it and sponsors. I think it may have also been running in debt. Fellow councillor Margaret Aston regularly used the centre for surgeries and said she was saddened by its closure, but the numbers using it had been declining in recent years. She said, I don't think there were many people going in. When I was first a councillor, they used to have lots going on, including meals for the elderly twice a day. I was hoping it would catch on again. It is a shame to see it closed, but I suppose it is the sign of the times. She admitted she was disappointed to see the centre close so soon after the investment in the central heating system. Councillor Aston said she hoped the centre could be opened again for the community in the future.
Businesses affected by Midland Metro roadworks in Wolverhampton, which have not received compensation, have now been told firms in Birmingham were aided during works there. Roadworks, which stretch for more than a mile from Wolverhampton city centre to the junction with Colwick Street along the A41 Bilston Road, have been in place since June and will remain until Christmas. Traders have reported huge losses and two have been forced to shut down altogether while the tracks are replaced. Despite their complaints, they were told last month that they will not receive a penny in compensation and instead will be helped with marketing and promotion. Now it has emerged businesses in Birmingham city centre were compensated, while the line was extended to Grand Central and the railway station. The extended line opened in June last year. The Midland Metro Alliance, MMA, said UK legislation does not allow for compensation for maintenance projects. Rakesh Ladha, secretary of the Bilston Road Action Group, said, "It is not good. It is not right at all. The time span of the works are irrelevant. Everyone has suffered here. The queues along the road are only getting worse. The last few days, it has taken a long time to get down there. If they got some compensation in Birmingham, there should be some here, definitely." Wolverhampton South East MP Pat McFadden has been campaigning on behalf of the A41 traders. He added, "I don't think local businesses will accept or understand the reasons given for compensating some businesses in Birmingham, but not in Wolverhampton. Arguments about the duration of the works are no comfort to use to small businesses struggling to stay afloat as a result of these works. 6 months with little or no trade is a long time, and I want these businesses to be helped now." The work is being carried out by the MMA on behalf of the West Midlands Combined Authority, WMCA.
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Louise.
Bye-bye from Joyce.
And bye-bye from Margaret.